Welcome back. Thursday morning show here, April 14th. Got a little snow and blowing snow going on here, 27 degrees. And let the Thursday talk around begin with history. We are all attentive students, as our favorite historian, Jana Gageland, comes back to the studio. Jana, good morning.
Good morning. A little strange out there today.
Oh, man, always a little strange when you see this kind of thing. Yeah. But hearing from the folks in Minot, like over 30 inches of snow, we're okay with this.
Yeah, I feel bad for them. I really do.
I do, too. But they did need the moisture. We did bring that up.
Yep. And so when their gardens are growing this spring, they'll look at this and say, wow, that was really great.
That was a nice snowfall.
Yes, yes. Provided nobody's injured or hurt in any way.
That's right. That's right. So what are we talking today in history? I know you've been digging.
I have. I've been digging into baseball. And this is one of those topics that will probably take a couple weeks because there are so many layers to it.
Sure.
You know, you talk about amateur baseball, and every little town in the area had an amateur baseball team. And there's a book called Sundays on the Prairie, Sunday Afternoons on the Prairie. And they had baseball back in Fort Abercrombie with the soldiers who were there.
That's right. I remember you telling me baseball, amateur baseball was really big there.
Oh, yes, really big. And, you know, all these people came from the East Coast, so they brought, you know, baseball with them. And so it was truly a national sport, American sport, you know, because everybody played it.
Right.
So, you know, we start with amateur baseball, and then you have to start thinking about, well, you know, who were some of those players, and you know, how far back did we have amateur baseball around here? And they didn't really call it amateur. They just had their city league. But at the state level, they called it amateur because they had a state tournament, you know, and it was always in Jamestown, early September.
Okay.
So here's one from the newspaper, 1901, that the Breckenridge-Wahpeton team will play in Herman, Minnesota. And the games were played at the Island Park, which would be Wells Memorial Park.
Oh, sure.
Wells Park.
Right.
So, you know, it was a good location. I mean, you could get there from both, you know, communities, and everybody could watch. So just go across that footbridge and you were okay. And sometimes they even went to Lidgewood to play, or Hankinson. So like I'm saying, this is 1901, and so all these little communities had baseball teams. I remember reading some of the newspapers in the early days where it would say that so-and-so ran his business. Maybe he was a pharmacist, and he left his business at the drugstore to go play baseball. You know, and I'm thinking, how did you show up for that?
That was
game?
Their side hustle.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
You know, and then I think, okay, what kind of a bat did they use? And, you know, what were their gloves like? Probably, you know, little flat pancake sort of things that really didn't do much. So then we skip ahead to 1904. In 1904, our team went to Clitheroe, and there was a train that left. The Northern Pacific Railroad took them to Clitheroe. It left at 8:40 in the morning, and it was a round trip. So if you didn't want to stay in Clitheroe and take part in the bathing, and that's what they called
you
it.
You can come back.
Or boating or fishing, whatever. You could, you know, stay there and do that, or you could come back. And if you wanted to stay, the train then would leave probably Tuesday. And there were a couple other teams that were going to play that day, and these other teams, Battle Lake and Henning, so we're talking Minnesota, is pretty good there too. So these clubs were both very strong, and the game will be played for blood. Because there's a great rivalry between them. It's like, oh, so even back then, the boundaries were set, and this was like our city sport, our county, our team, you know. And
plus, what a great way for people, like in those little towns, to get out and go watch a ball game. It really was and still is America's pastime.
Well, yeah, and, you know, and we've talked a lot about the celebrations that they've had around here, and they always had parades. But they always had a baseball game,
too. That's right.
And the baseball games with, you know, these towns, when they would get together, it was like a picnic. You know, you bring your whole family and you watch baseball and the kids run around. But, you know, you brought a picnic lunch with you, too. So it wasn't just the baseball part of it. It was really a family deal.
It was a celebration, too.
And
baseball just added to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that continued for quite a while. There are a couple books that really talk about the amateur baseball. as being a, you know, something that every community had. And the names of those books are Sunday Afternoons on the Prairie, and Lots More Fun That Way, and that's amateur baseball that went through the 60s. So it talks about amateur baseball in almost all the communities. And he has one called Hired Batteries. You know, when we get into the semi-pro, that's what they did. They hired people to come in and play baseball.
That's right.
And so you think of, like, Satchel Paige. You know, he played in Bismarck, you know, and I mean, it's just, to me, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, hard to get your arms around that.
Yeah,
it really is.
There's another book called Pitch Black Baseball. North Dakota, Minnesota, South Dakota, their states were integrated.
Okay.
And so they had, you know, black players and white players and any color players on their team. So it was called Pitch Black Baseball. So, you know, there's a lot of information out there. It's not comprehensive, but it's an enjoyable read.
So. This stuff seems to be fairly well documented.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah. You can find in newspapers all kinds of, you know, the box scores and everything.
I'm sure.
Know? So, like I said, they brought it with them, and the newspapers are professional writers, and so this was a story, you know. So then we're going to skip ahead here to 1946. We've talked before about Hank Lehman, you know, and how he got a contract to play professional baseball. We're still in the amateur side of baseball, but we do have some names that just keep coming up over and over again. And in 1946, August, Woody Keeble struck out 19 in one game.
Wow.
And yeah, but we didn't score very many. But 19, that's a lot of hitters going down. And then you look at the rest of the lineup. Harold Lensmeyer, Harold Diedrich, Chick Lee, Kermit Lee. I mean, it's just filled with these names of, you know, history. Jack Nowetzki, John and Jack Murray. I mean, they're just, yeah, they were the icons of this whole amateur baseball.
A lot of familiar names.
Yes. And so, you know what? They were good. They were really good. Heb and Woody and Hank, they all got looks from professional teams. But we didn't have semi-pro, so that was the only way you could get there.
Sure.
So in 1946, our team made it to the state tournament. And what did we do? We won. We won the state tournament. Yes. And so there's a huge write-up about it. The local nine win right to go to Battle Creek for national amateur games. And the opening line is, Wahpeton is welcoming home its amateur championship baseball team today with all the pride it can muster.
That was a lot of pride back then.
And then later on it talks about the iron arm of Harold Diedrich. And then people would see his fireball. You know, he's a fireball artist, and he got credit for all four games. So he was pitching in all four games that they played.
Incredible.
But then they went to the national and lost two. But, you know.
But even so, winning state, you know, oh, yeah. 40s, that was huge.
It was.
And
yeah.
I bet the whole town showed out.
Oh, I'm correct.
You know, showed up to welcome them back.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they did, you know. And so, you know, they kept playing through the 40s. But then the 50s, you know, they kind of were probably past their prime. And so they took the sport of softball, slow pitch probably, yeah. Although I'm sure a lot of them played fast pitch as well. But, you know, and maybe their kids started playing. And so the sport of baseball and the team of baseball in those communities just continued. And we've got, like, you know, Heb Diedrich and Eilif Olerud from McLeod. They're in the state amateur Hall of Fame baseball.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I mean, this is kind of a big area for it. But you know, you get to Jamestown and Bismarck, Minot, that's when you start getting the semi-pros. So in 1954, we had the Breckwop Twins. That was the first year of the Breckwop Twins.
Okay.
And again, you know, they would hire in managers and you know, they would recruit players. And you know, you think about, okay, well, who then was playing nationally in this time frame? Well, Ted Williams, you know, Pee Wee Reese,
sure.
Stan Musial,
wow.
Bob Feller. I mean, you know, these are big names too. And so I'm sure these guys, these were probably their idols, you know. So anyway, we had the the semi-pro going from 1954 for a while. Fargo had IDSO sales into the 60s, and you know, so it was out there, and they published a schedule in newspaper, and so everybody would know when the games would be. And from 1954, you still had the amateur going on too, so you had the Twin State League, Winemere, Fairmount, Abercrombie, Hankinson, Rutland, Lidgerwood, McLeod, Morton, Great Bend, Barney, even Delamere had a team.
Unbelievable.
Galshute, Colfax, Walcott. I mean, it's just, the list goes on and on. So every team or every community having a team is not a stretch.
Don't you find it, though, fascinating that with all of this history, and then you look at beautiful John Randall Field down here. It's still here.
Yep.
And that spirit is still here in 2022.
Yeah. Yeah, take me out to the ball game, you know, and or put me in coach. I mean, these are just, you look at the fence in the outfield. And
right.
I'm just so glad, though, that we don't have all the advertising that's going on out there. And now I think professional baseballs are going to allow advertising on the uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
But you watch a game, and there's this thing that rolls behind with advertising, and like, what a distraction.
We can't get away from it.
No, you can't. So, you know, I've talked kind of fast today, and there's just really so much. Next week, we'll probably take a look at college baseball, because the college here had baseball in the 1900, you know, 1900 mm-hmm. to probably 1920, something.
And like it's
that.
Back again, thank
yes.
heavens.
Yeah, and it's all those names that are just going to pop out once more.
All right, Janet, great to have you, and happy Easter
to you.
Well,
thank you.
And we'll talk to you next Thursday.
Yep.
It's 8:18 here, the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450 KBMW. Good morning.
Spring break. You only get one each year. Making what to do kind of a big deal. But no worries. Mall of America's here to help you plan the best spring break ever. Headed out of town? We've curated pro-level packing lists so you're prepped and in perfect style wherever you're headed. And you can even click and buy with Shop MOA online. It's so easy. Looking for an amazing in-town getaway? Radisson Blue Mall of America makes it so simple. Like their fun-filled rad spring break package with all family entertainment galore. Or the Fort Blue Kids camping package. S'mores included. Want a day to just play during spring break? It's off to Mall of America because there's something for any age. From Crayola Experience to Moose Mountain Adventure Golf to Nickelodeon Universe. And just when you think it couldn't get more fun under our 72 degrees and sunny roof, it's our 30th birthday. There's a surprise around every corner, from exciting events to great giveaways. Our birthday, your gift. The best spring break ever. Visit mallofamerica.com/springbreak to start planning yours today.
Here's the schedule of services for the Richland County Health Department for May. Foot Care Clinic, Tuesday, May 3rd and May 17th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Wapton Senior Center. Health Track All Day on Thursday, May 5th at Richland County Law Enforcement Center, second floor. Information on these and other services offered by Richland County Health are available at www.richlandcountyhealth.org. That's www.richlandcountyhealth.org.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. During these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees...